Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank.
Oh no, I'm not an egomaniac.
Not at all.
Not at all, no.
That's funny.
Yeah, well,
that's awesome, though. That's awesome lyrics.
It is.
She did a really good job with that.
Yeah, okay.
I had a gentleman in yesterday. He fishes, or doesn't fit. Well, he fishes a lot, but he was. He loves a fishing show because he puts it on his phone in his earbuds while he mows lawns all day. He's a lawn guy.
Oh, gotcha.
And he said he loves listening to it because he gets sick and tired of news or other junk. And
yeah,
loves listening to it.
No, a different customer
that was
actually. I was just telling Kale, we got to get back because there's a lot of kids listening to this, and everybody's got a little lax lately about, you know, words that are that we don't want. You know,
little PC is what you're saying.
Yeah, I want to be a little more politically correct because a lot of people listen to this during the morning. So
absolutely,
we're gonna make. I want to be busting everybody's chops to, you know, try and keep it a little more.
I almost cussed the last time, and I caught myself. I did pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the fishing. We got the meeting at Luigi's. Once a month, we do a thing at Luigi's, and this one is we're going to talk about all the species for the tournament, being it's the last Fishin' Frank Shark Sailcat Stingray tournament.
Yep.
And the last one because, you know, everything has a time, and that thing went 29 years.
29 years now.
Well, 1985 to 2014.
That's pretty good.
The first one was in the summer of 1985, and then it went through till 88, I think, as a shark tournament. And we had gotten down to about 80 people, and we started off with 300 and something, and went down to about 80 people, and we added Sailcat to it. And it went right back up to, we were doing 300, 400, 500 plus people. And the tournament's gone up and down over the years.
Right.
We've had over 600 people in it.
It was like 693.
Yeah, we almost hit 700 one time.
Something like that.
And then we've gone as low in the last few years as 250, 300. But the tournament's always going up and down. And it has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with... what's it been, 14 years now, I think, we've been doing research on sharks?
Yeah.
It's been about 14 years. Some researchers came up when they, 14 years ago or so, and...
local FWC.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted to know if they could take sampling out of the sharks. Well, our little tournament turned into... It was the first no-waste shark tournament. It was the first shark tournament ever not to have the sharks hung by the tail, full weight, and weigh them.
Sitting out in the morning sun for half the day.
Right. Basically rendering the meat useless. Right.
But that was the original start of it. That wasn't even a progression thing.
No,
that was from day one.
It was the first no-waste tournament. The first, you know, tournament ever to try and be eco-friendly.
Right.
And this is before catch and release started. And then, you know, because even back then, a lot of the bass tournaments were still, you know, okay, bring them up, and the bass were killed.
Right.
And that's the way all tournaments were. They'd bring in a bag limit, and it was just the weight of the bag limit. And we live wells were just becoming into boats, and there wasn't even any depth finders back then. People forget how recent fish finders are.
Yeah.
And so this was an end of the season, because back then we had a season. And you'd have all the snowbirds come down. There was 30,000-40,000 people lived in the county. And in the winter, they'd go to 70,000-100,000 people. And now there's more than that year-round.
Right.
And so this was kind of an end-of-season hoorah. And it was set up so that, you could catch a big shark and have a 4th of July barbecue and big party and a picnic, and, you know, and the meat went to, there was a lot of parties, you know, yeah. fed through the shark tournament. And that's what people were going to do anyway, so they just, you know, great excuse to go out in the harbor, and it turned out to be a really cool thing. We added this, the catfish, and the weather kept getting worse, and the weather, I used to random pick the days, and trying to get a good tide and all that kind of stuff, and it seemed like the more I picked the days, the worse the weather got.
Yep.
We had a tropical storm, full force tropical storm. Nobody wanted to stop the tournament, you know. 390 some people went out that year. 7 boats went under. 15-18 people in the water. Everybody had a blast. It's not like now, you know. Nowadays,
except
everybody
for those 7 boats.
No, they had a good time. You had to hear them talk about it. It was fun. It was an adventure. You know, I mean, it's just people don't whine. They didn't whine then. All they did was they wanted to go out and have a good time. And sometimes sinking the boat, you know, everybody lives through it. Nobody was injured or hurt seriously. Minor injuries, but they had a ball, and they still have those stories. It
even
was great.
The foul weather,
isn't
the bad part. You still got the heat, you still got the humidity. The mosquitoes are coming out now. There's plenty of challenges, even if the weather's nice.
Oh, and what's weird about it is somewhere in the harbor this Saturday night, there is going to be one heck of a storm. You'll be able to sit in another part, and there'll be stars and beautiful light breezes, calm water, and then you're going to go just a little ways over here or there, and they're going to be dealing with 4-foot waves.
Water spouts.
I mean, waves crashing over the bow, and another area will have tons of mosquitoes and no-see-ums. If you're in that one lucky spot, it's going to be gorgeous. And then everybody else is going to be going through hell.
Yep.
It's absolutely just going to be terrible. And but they call it Fish and Frank's Severe Weather Challenge. And that was why we picked the second Saturday in June. I said, I can't pick a good night anyway. Let's just do the same day every day.
Exactly.
And it got it more on track. Well, as they started changing the shark rules and less sharks were available, we canceled the, we used to do 2 a year.
Right.
The beginning of June, you know, beginning of June and the beginning of August.
Right.
Well, it just got to be, you know, where it wasn't going to work, so we stopped the August one, and we were just hanging on to this one. And about, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, I said, you know, you guys still wanted, you know, talking to the researchers, and they said, no, we want you to run the tournament. And they needed the data for it.
Right.
And because I, every year I would call and say, guys, you know, what are we going to do with tournament? And this year they said, well, we're done. We don't need the research. We're not. They've got more. It's going to take them years to input into the computer all the data they have now.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, they get more data in one night of our shark tournament than they do statewide, because we're so helpful and letting people come, let them come in, and the people fishing the tournament allow them to take the samples and everything else. You know, versus them standing on a boat ramp somewhere saying, hey, did you catch a shark? Can we take a piece of it? Or, you know, going out with one of the supposed longliners or whatever. You know, they don't get enough data.
Some data can't be taken unless the animal's dead.
All science is life and death. Everyone sees everything on the Discovery Channel where it's all catch and release and hoop-de-hop, you know, till it's tagged that fish, just like in the paper again. They're talking about that great white that's off of Sanibel again. It's been pinging back and forth for the last month out there in the Gulf.
Right.
There's actually 3 of them out there right now, which is phenomenal. That's phenomenal. We need that data. But people forget that all science is based on death.
Well,
and life.
Humans.
You can't have...
That's what they have cadavers for.
Exactly.
We call them cadavers instead of dead people they're experimenting on, but you know, it still amounts to the same thing.
Exactly.
And the state kills thousands of snook a year. They kill thousands of redfish.
Yep.
They kill thousands of fish.
Absolutely.
All, you know, because they got to look at the otoliths and what's in their stomachs and all the rest of the stuff.
DNA tests come out and they want to further geneticize it. I mean, there's always new stuff coming around that they want to get...
Well, what kills me is people think you can get a vertebrae from a live shark. That would probably upset the shark just a little bit. If you're out there and you go up to a shark and you cut one of his vertebrae, excuse me, Mr. Shark, I'm going to take this vertebrae from you right now, and I would like you to hold still for just a minute. Chances are you'd really upset him.
Well, I'm a firm believer that Walt Disney should have been assassinated as soon as the first movie thought crossed into his mind.
Yeah.
Because it has given everybody a false sense of what the animal world is like. We assign human feelings to things that aren't human.
Right. I mean, PETA.
I'm responsible for that with my dogs.
Every single animal rights group owes its existence to Walt Disney.
Yep.
Not one animal rights group existed prior to the release of Bambi.
No, not one.
It was Bambi who set off the animal rights activists because a cartoon deer died.
Right.
It was sad. Everybody cries when you see Bambi. It was a cartoon.
Well, Old Yeller died long before that and nobody cared.
What was that?
I said Old Yeller died long before that and nobody cared. The problem was Walt Disney put feeling into it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he drew the pictures better. I mean, Walt Disney was a creative genius, but I'd still like to hit him in the back of the head with a 2x4.
Yep.
You know, maybe not. No, we're going to be politically correct. I would like to slap him lightly across the forehead.
With a hard feather.
Yeah, with a hard feather made out of 2 inches by 4 inches of pine. But anyway, it's just crazy to me that all this is based on that. But the reality is the state kills a lot of animals.
Absolutely.
Getting back to the tournament.
The other thing we missed.
We
on
saved the taxpayers thousands of dollars because they didn't have to hire a boat or go out in a boat and spend all the money.
Yeah.
It saved the taxpayers a huge amount of money.
Right.
Because they could just come here and get a lot of data. Now, what were you saying?
The other thing we forgot about is, you know, by adding the catfish and the stingray and having that combination, it became everybody could fish it.
Right.
You didn't need a boat. Mothers, daughters, sons, husbands, all could fish it, whether they fished it in their backyard, whether they went out on the boat, or they went on the local
piers. I
got to
tell you, one of the best things of that years ago, and everybody's kind of moved away and gone different lives and stuff, was we had a group of about 6 or 8 guys that all got together to fish the shark tournament. And their wives would all get together at the one house, and they'd take the kids, and the one lived on the canal right over here, not far from your place. And the wives would all get together on the pier for the sail cap part of it. The kids, they'd put all the kids to bed, they'd go out, and they'd have their cocktails on the dock and catch sail cats while the guys were all out in the boat having their cocktails trying to catch the sharks. The wives made... Oh, God. I
stomp them most of the time.
I mean, so much more money than the husbands ever did.
Yeah.
Because they were bringing in the catfish and consistently winning. One of the women out of the group would usually, somewhere, one of them would place. Remember the family out of Englewood?
Englewood was the same way.
The older couple, they all got in the tournament because you're not allowed to be on a boat unless you're in the tournament. And they would have all their family come down, and the grandpa would take everybody out two, three people at a time to fish for a couple hours, and then they'd go back and forth, and the whole family went out over the course of the night. And they did really good.
They had a several-year run there, I think 3 or 4 or 5 years where they placed high.
I think something must have happened to grandpa, because I haven't seen them.
No, I have not either. But that was just phenomenal. I mean, them running
super
literally
nice
all night long, a family of 10 or 12 grandparents, sons,
kids,
daughters,
grandkids,
the whole night.
And everybody. Yeah, it was amazing. And then there's been so many different things happening in the tournament over the years. One guy tried shooting a shark. Thank God he didn't shoot his gas tank. But they bring the shark into the boat, and bang, and he shoots the shark. Well, the shark was laying on the deck. Well... The deck is right below there, and unlike in the movies, the bullet doesn't just like ricochet off a tin car door, you know.
it goes right through the
deck of the boat, through the bottom of the boat. It was a small hole, so it wasn't, you know, he didn't sink, but he couldn't figure out why his bilge pump kept running all night, running.
Wow.
Finally ended up coming in, and yeah, there was.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, luckily he had a double set of bilge pumps because, you know, still a half inch hole in the bottom of the boat.
Absolutely. That's terrifying.
It was funny, though.
Well, and you hear about that stuff all the time.
But
you know, the
big thing about shooting sharks, which is now illegal, was people would try and shoot them. It's not bad when you only do damage to your boat, but bullets ricochet off water.
In a heartbeat.
So when you're shooting out at an angle away from it, there's a good chance those bullets are hitting the water and ricocheting up.
It's just like skipping a rock.
Yeah. So, you know, they would try and shoot the shark before it got close to the boat. Well, you have bullets ricocheting everywhere. That just wasn't good. And that was the main reason they said you cannot shoot sharks anymore, because people weren't waiting till they got next to the boat to shoot at them. They were shooting at them, you know, 30, 50, 100 feet out away from the boat. Okay, you just come up.
I see a dorsal fin. Lewis head should be about right there, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy stuff. A lot of fun.
You hear a lot of these stories just like this with the deer hunters up north, and they retire and move down here.
Oh, that's true.
Good point.
Maybe that. But anyway, so back to the tournament. We were talking about the tournament. It's just kind of run its time. A few years ago, they eliminated lemon sharks, which was a big part of the tournament.
Yep.
Then you're not allowed to do hammerheads. And it's kind of like a bull shark tournament now.
Yeah.
And legally, we can keep running it. There's no thing about it. But I kind of made my mind up about 5 years ago that when the research, I was thinking, well, you know, we've been doing this a long time. And then once they eliminated lemon sharks, I'm like, man, I don't know if we're going to keep going. Then they took the hammerheads out for no dang reason but sentimental, emotional stuff. It has nothing to do with the fish or the numbers of the fish.
Walt
just
Disney
emotional. Yeah, well, it was the Bucky rule, you know. And so people didn't want him catching sharks, so they eliminated anybody catching them. And which I get, because hammerheads are probably the coolest shark of all.
Oh, absolutely.
There is nothing as cool as a hammerhead. When they come up, you know, the only thing I don't get is sharks have got to be a very non-aggressive species. Why haven't they figured out there's food up in that boat? I mean, it's only, you know, 20 inches up. It's only 20 inches up.
Quit pressing your luck.
Yeah, well, they do it in Australia. They're taking people out of boats now.
If they learn this, we're in trouble.
Right.
Did you see where that stingray attacked that guy the other day?
No.
He deserved it.
Over in Australia, there's like a 4-foot ray in this shallow bay.
Right.
He's wading out to it, and he lunges at it like he's going to spook it. Well, it spooked and ran about 10 feet away and stopped and turned there. And he started to turn around like, oh, ho, ho, how cool is that? And started to walk away.
Yep.
And the ray comes charging after him. And somebody obviously on the shore is like, he's coming at you, because you see him turn around and go, ugh, and does a flying dive to get away from this thing. It stops right where he dove at and just, I mean, it just ran and charged and then stopped.
Well, because he backed off. I mean, okay, I'm going to attack you, and he turns and comes around to defend himself, and then he goes, oh, look at this coward, you know? Hey, he's afraid of me. I get him.
I don't care if it's fish,
that's a funny
mammals,
video.
Birds, turning your back on an animal after you have attacked it is a sign of weakness in the animal world.
Yeah, that means,
oh, absolutely.
Means that I'm a wuss.
Lion. If that was a lion, he'd have been eaten. If that was an elephant, he'd have been trampled.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what you do, you keep your back to something. When did you ever see a gunfighter in in any old movie? You know, you got to go back to when they really did the ones more like gunfighters. But, you know, he just backed away. He backed out of the saloon. He didn't turn his back and walk out of the saloon, because, I mean, somebody's going to shoot him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same thing with animals.
Yeah. So, Outlaw Josie Wales, a guy that walks out backwards looking.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
The whole time as he walked out the door.
Yeah, so
dying isn't a good way of making a living.
No, and it works the same thing with animals. Once you turn your back, it means you're scared and you're going to run. Probably your food. Because if you're scared, it means you think whatever it is going to eat you. And because you've turned your back and you're running.
When you turn your back, chances are it will.
Yeah.
It's just funny to see a stingray do it. I mean, you expect it from a bear or an elk
or something
like that.
But again, the stingray is a member of the shark family.
But getting back to the hammerheads, I mean, what's amazing is you're sitting out there in the Gulf and you're surrounded by bull sharks. And I mean, 8-foot bull sharks and 6 and 8-foot bull sharks. And there's 20, 30 of them. And all of a sudden, about a 12-foot hammerhead shows up, and they all leave. Everything leaves.
Yep.
I mean,
and
king of the sea,
without a doubt.
And not even being aggressive either. I mean, it's not like it's pecked up and ready to go, because you and I have both seen hammers when they are full-blown excited to feed.
What's really fun is, back years ago, you put a tag in a tarp and you'd use them for bait.
Sure.
And, we would put all the blood into a tarp so we could capture all that, and then you take cupfuls of that, put it in the water, and all these bull sharks would come around. You'd be just swarming with bull sharks around the boat, and then all of a sudden out there you'd see a fin come up, and then a couple sharks leave, and then all of a sudden you see them act a little different. They're all gone, and then you see the hammerhead crossing the path.
Yep.
And what's weird to watch is you see him just kind of going, you see this fin kind of come up when he's kind of interested, but the fin's not really upright. It's kind of laid over, you know, relaxed, like picture an orca, you know?
Right.
And then all of a sudden he gets right into that scent trail, and boy, that fin goes up tight. I mean, you can just see that fin stiffen. He is in the mode.
And watching that hammer just literally like almost twitch, like convulsions just going back and forth in a sweeping manner and trying to follow that pattern or the blood trail or whatever. Yeah. Just,
and they've got compasses in
goosebumps.
Their heads. They've got a magnetic things on each side of their head, so they know where they are. They have their own built-in GPS system. They can go anywhere in the world and come back to wherever they want.
Right.
What a memory, you know? So, anyway, but hammerheads are cool. So, well, yeah, okay, but they took those out, so now it's down to bull shark tournament.
Bull sharks.
And I just actually think it's run its course. 29 years is a long time to run a tournament.
Right.
You know?
It is.
And a very successful one at that. Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of customers have taken care of us. You've taken care of a lot of customers over it. I mean, it's...
You have a lot of trouble getting big-name tournaments to run 29 years, let alone an everyman tournament.
I think
like
the
this.
Only other one is the Bassmasters.
Yeah.
And it's been sold several times.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't think of one other tournament.
I think there's a couple of Marlin tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah, but are they 29 years maybe? How long has Big Rock been?
Oh, no, they haven't been Big Rock 29 years.
The Cabo Billfish tournament. I don't know if it's been doing it for that long.
No, it was a good run.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are saying, you know what, people, you know, protesting. Last time somebody protested us and they came out, you know, quit killing sharks, I went over and cut a bunch of meat off the sharks and handed Meech a nice shark flake. Here, try this, you'll like it. They didn't ever come back.
Right.
What do I care if people want to protest?
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if people think you're doing the wrong thing. As long as you know you're doing the right thing,
right. You're
okay.
Right. Yep.
And so I've never been bothered by, you know, what people say or do. This is nothing to do with public opinion. This boils down to me discussing it with the people in the store, research people, scientists, and it falls on my shoulders, and I just decided I think it's time.
Right.
And we did not need to do this tournament. This tournament is the last hurrah for the guys. There's no research to be had out of it. There's nothing to do.
Right.
This is the last hurrah. I didn't feel it was right after, you know, 28 years of doing it.
The research guys are coming and grabbing whatever data they can.
Yeah, they're going to, but they don't need it.
Right.
They don't need any of the data. I think they're more interested in the stingray data than they are the shark data at this point.
Yep.
But the big thing is it's time.
Yeah.
Just in my head, you know, you got to follow your own moral compass. Get your advisors together, talk it over with your, you know, friends, people you respect, and then make your decision. And that's what I did. So anyway,
and unfortunately, that means I have to fish it.
Yeah, it's the last one. Pretty
last
much
one.
Everybody's going to have to. This is it. So we're going to try and get you guys out of here as soon as possible. We have no idea what time you guys are all going to be able to leave.
It'll be the same thing as every year. We'll get out of here about 4 or 5 o'clock, like normal.
Don't know if you will. It depends on how busy we are.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be just like every year. We'll be too tired to go, just like it has been for the last 8 years.
I'm actually thinking about taking the boat out Saturday night to just do a... If my boat's running well by then, I'm going to take it out and do a little lap around the harbor. But
even if we don't get out till 8 or 9, that's fine. We'll suck it up and go.
Yeah. Well, Austin's planning on going. I know Carl's probably going to fish it. I know you're fishing it. I don't think Greg is going to make it, and I've never been allowed to fish it. I actually thought about fishing this one just as the last one, but still not fair considering final judge. But anyway, so we don't know what we're going to do about other tournaments and what we're going to do from this point on. We could do a catfish tournament, or we could do...
Opens up a whole new bunch of probabilities.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know what we're going to do, so we're taking suggestions. But getting to the fishing now, I don't know. It's been a weird few days for fishing. It's been spectacular and horrible all at the same time.
Going back to the tournament, I think we should substitute shark with cobia.
It's possible.
And the only problem that we're going to have is convincing everybody they taste terrible and that I'll take them.
So that you can have them all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anything's possible. I don't know what we're going to do, or we might do a tournament series. We might do no tournaments. We might keep part of this one going. I don't know. If anything goes, it'll probably stay with the Sailcat division is probably the one thing I'm looking at keeping.
Yeah,
is the
you Sailcat should. I mean, portion of it. That's your shore person, every man.
Part every, of it. Anybody
and,
can
and
fish
that's,
it.
That's needed.
So, anyway, we're going to figure out what we're going to do with that. But the one thing that stands out in my mind right now is tarpon fishing, but not in the past, not in the beaches, not in the harbor, but in the canals, the ponds, and the freshwater ones.
Right.
The stuff that's not where we would think they are. Rotunda, the places up by Taylor Road. I mean, all these. And the guy was asking me, he says, it's just exploding with tarpon. And I think the basic reason falls to nature, when a certain time of year comes around, crappie go to spawn,
yep.
snook go to spawn, sure. tarpon go to spawn. Well, what happens when tarpon come here to spawn is all the adults come back. And these are adult big fish, like the redfish right. will and all these other ones. But when they come up, all the little ones come out to meet them. And if they're big enough, they get to leave with the school of adults and go right. travel. Well, what are these fish in those landlocked canals? They got to be going through that. That's like going to the... now, I'm trying to be
Careful.
Politically correct.
I saw where you're going.
But if you went to a club and had scantily clad members of the opposite sex in gyro mode, and you spent the night there, that's got to be what these fish are feeling like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here, they're all dressed up and no place to go.
Right.
I mean, yep. here they got their best suit on. They're looking for, you know, where's the adults? And however these fish get in those canals, I think sometimes birds pick them up, drop them in there. sure. I think a lot of it's just due to, like, when we have the
floods,
high tides and then a strong west wind. Yep. And, you know, even eggs are fry. I mean, these tarpon could get in there
they're
when they're an eighth of an inch long.
Yeah, they're microscopic. Yep. I mean, they're the size of mosquito larva.
Yeah, the mosquito.
I mean,
or the
how much... Water
the seagulls, the herring, get them caught up on them, and then they go land in the freshwater lake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just right there. So yeah. I think a lot of them are just carried in on birds' feet and feathers and all the rest of stuff. But now all of a sudden they're getting big enough where they want to go with the adults. They're looking for the adults. Nature's telling them, okay, it's time to leave, time to go. And they're stuck in a pond or in a canal.
Right.
And there's no way out. So this, and I'm hearing stories about just tarpon, you know, big schools of tarpon in a lot of the canals, and that's got to be what it is.
Right.
Yeah, we found a canal down in Naples in one of the hunting areas down there. It was kind of like that section between Northport and Port Charlotte where all the streets are there.
Right.
It was never developed.
Yeah.
And they turned an area like that into a wildlife management area. And they had saltwater canals at one time, and then they blocked those canals off, and they're all pretty much strictly freshwater now. And we were walking across one of the bridges there, and I happened to look down, and I could see noses sticking out from the shadow line. And what the heck are those?
Thank you.
And we watched, and
I saw his face. He was into the story, so he was ready to go.
Full-size, full-grown tarpon.
Right.
And they weren't small. These were 200-pound fish. And we sat there and watched some of the biggest redfish, snook, and tarpon I've ever seen in my life just drift out from underneath that bridge and back underneath it. You know, that call to breed is stronger across the animal kingdom than it is for us. How did they...
Well, it is for you. You're 40 now, yeah. So, you know, I mean, you don't have those urges anymore, you know.
Yeah. The call's there.
You're going to have to rephrase that to stronger than me at my age.
Well, the call's there. I just can't hear it anymore. So, I mean, what do those fish do? Do they attempt to breed in that fresh water?
Oh, absolutely. And fish, saltwater fish can live and breed and grow in fresh water with a few other minerals and stuff in it, like salt.
Sure.
But the biggest... difference is when the eggs and the sperm and all that come out to mix, they all that works fine, but when they go to hatch,
right,
very few of the fry survive. You have like a 5% more
survival
rate. You got like a 90-some percent, you know, failure on them because they can't live in that fresh water. Very, very few of them grow. Now, if we let those tarpon in there for the next 400 years,
they'd evolve to it.
They're going to change. Absolutely. And the eggs will work out, and every year more of the ones that survive are going to spawn.
Yep.
And if they survive that fresh water, their offspring are more likely to survive the fresh water. But it takes a lot of time for the fish to evolve to other gene to come about. But it's literally done by the survival. Okay, the ones that did survive, be it very, very few, if they survive to spawn, their offspring will be more likely.
It might not take that long for that evolution to take place. They had that 6-year-old black tip give self-birth. It was a female black tip that gave birth and had zero contact with any other sharks her whole life.
Yeah, it's called parthenogenesis.
What is it called?
Parthenogenesis.
Okay.
And did they do a DNA study on the... Did they DNA the baby sharks?
Yes.
Were they identical to the mother?
Identical.
It's a self-preservation, basically. It was first diagnosed or discovered in snakes. And she will literally ovulate and fertilize and create an exact duplicate of herself.
Dun, 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 dun.
They'll all be females.
Yeah.
They'll all be females. All the offspring are females, and they are a DNA perfect match of the mother.
She was put in an aquarium, an enclosed aquarium,
as
a newborn shark, and raised there. No other sharks in contact, no other sharks in the system, so there couldn't have been any crossbreeding or anything like that.
Yeah, well, no, it just stands to reason. I mean, nature wants to find a way.
Yep.
I don't think there's ever been a time where...
It didn't.
You know,
right.
I mean, certain species, reptiles and stuff, you know, they... You know, we have no idea. I mean, look at the dinosaurs.
Right.
You know, what happened with them. And, you know, the whole myth about the meteorite killing them all, you know, which is goofy. But coming around to back to it, I don't even know where we were.
No, God, no idea. So we squirreled really bad on that
one.
That one was...
But there's a lot of good knowledge there.
Yeah.
Okay, but... Yeah, that's usually we take those left turns, and I actually know what street we were on.
No.
I don't have a clue as to where we were going with that. But anyway, coming back to reality just a bit, tonight, 6:30 at Luigi's, it's the second Tuesday and Wednesday of each month.
No, it is the second Wednesday and Tuesday night prior. The second Wednesday and the second Tuesday aren't always one after another.
That's right, about... couple times a year it messes up. But anyway, we're at Luigi's. If you go on the website, we usually have it up there.
I think it's easier to follow
time.
Where they're consecutive.
So, anyway, the second Wednesday of each month with the preceding Tuesday. So,
right.
The Tuesday right before that second Wednesday. So, anyway, that's up at Luigi's. We're in the back room back there. The room only holds 50 people. That's why we do two nights. Right now, we haven't had any trouble. You would think this time of year we'd be a little packed, but we've had 6-8 extra seats each night.
Yep.
So we've been doing, you know, 40-45 people a night. So we've had a few extra seats.
I kind of expect this one to be busy. We've got our shark tournament coming up, so we're talking about sharks. You have me there, you have Robert there, and you there. I think there's going to be a lot of people coming to pick our brains to help on themselves on that last tournament. So
yeah.
I do think we're going to be a little busy this time.
It could very well be. This is going to be an interesting one to find out what goes on. But Robert's probably going to be joining us as a regular cast member here pretty quick.
Good deal.
We're working it out to get people work the morning so he doesn't have to get, you know, be there till 10 o'clock at night.
And Barb is coming tonight.
Barb is
coming tonight.
Yeah, Terry will be there tonight. So, the meeting goes from 6:30, and we don't run past 8 o'clock. We have waiters, waitresses. The bathroom is right around the corner. You get to eat, drink, relax, sit at a table with other people, have a good time. It's not like a regular meeting where you go sit in a little chair and have your hands folded, you know.
Yep.
It's
dinner and a show.
Yep, dinner and a show is what it is. So, anyway, 3.5 years now.
Yes.
3.5 years.
Yep.
3 years, 3.5 years. I don't know. Been a long time.
I know.
So we need to add Robert to the mix.
It doesn't even seem like that.
It doesn't.
It really does not seem that long.
I was looking at the tide charts the other day, and I was like, Are we already halfway through June?
Yeah, it's... Yes, I know. Everything about it's crazy.
How is that possible?
So, anyway, let's do where to go fun activity so we can wrap this up. Where's your best bet, Kale? Captain Kale, your best bet for someone to just go out and have some fun over the next couple of days, where would you go?
If you're willing to get up early, if you can get down into the pass area, fish for tarpon from about 5 o'clock until 8 or 9, then move your way up the harbor and start looking for your sharks. And then as the day starts to grow old, move into the flats and look for trout and redfish.
Okay. Robert?
I'll agree with the first two-thirds of that. Definitely the early morning feed is going on with the tarpon. The shark are scattered all over the same thing as you move your way up into the harbor. But after that, personally, I'm going to go chase triple tail. The okay. triple tail bite has been sick for the last 10 days everywhere.
Okay.
All the crab trap mark, you know, the few handfuls of crab traps that are out there are holding triple tail on it. Almost every one of the major channel markers are holding several triple tail on them.
Now you're talking
anywhere from
offshore
2
or
to
inshore?
10 all inside.
In the harbor and in the near Gulf. There are the harbor and the near Gulf, triple tail city. It's just crazy.
It's been one of the best months I can think of in
forever.
Yeah. I mean, just hearing
just like
so
we did with
many
cobia. We had so many cobia this year. Mm-hmm. Now that it's down to a normal year, everybody thinks it's slow. It's still one of the better cobia. This would be rated, I would say, a 7 or an 8 as a cobia time right now.
Yep.
But we were at about a 12 a few months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beyond.
Everything's hungry.
Yeah, it was beyond 10 a while back. So,
yeah.
All right, now my bet, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to send you one of the reefs. The spade fish are in there. Tons of funds for the kids. I think the triple tail. But I'm going to tell you, get out on the reef, you know, leave about daylight, safe light, fish till 11, 12, maybe 1 o'clock. I am going to be in the house, in the AC, without a doubt, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm off the water, back in the house by 2. It's just from 2 to 5. It's too hot.
Plus the sea breeze starts to pick up. Plus the oddball thunderstorms can get pretty crappy.
Yeah.
So
I want to be back in the house at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to say, you know, leave it safe light. Go to the reefs, catch a bunch of spade fish. You'll probably find some sharks, maybe some gag grouper, goliath grouper, a lot of mangrove snapper,
a lot of spade fish on the markers too.
Yeah, we got a lot of spade fish in the harbor right now. They look like an angel fish, little piece of shrimp meat, number 6 gold hook, and just have a blast on them. Or do as I do with a crappie jig and, you know, just have a good time. Now, keep in mind, there's no size or bag limit on them, but there's also not a lot of meat on a small fish.
Right.
And they've got very leathery skin, and they're tough to clean. You really got to want to do this. So
and nasty looking once you get the meat out.
Yeah, it's pretty funky looking, but to be quite honest, it reminds me of that freshwater wapote I caught. Nice tasting meat, just dark, looks like it'd be fishy, but it's not. You know,
right.
It's actually a pretty good meal, but you got to work for it. So make sure you only keep ones that, okay, yes, this is actually going to have, you know,
have some meat on it, make it worthwhile.
And as you're driving out there, stop at those markers and look at them. Go by them, go close, and look. A marker 2 yesterday or the other day had a nice big cobia swimming around it.
How'd that work out for you, by the way?
It didn't, as usual.
It didn't.
No. I think he would have eaten something that tried eating him. He had some pretty good bite marks on him.
So you were over by marker 2, saw cobia, but you could see him well enough to see that he had big bite marks on him.
Oh, yeah. I contemplated throwing a cast net on him.
Yeah.
I wanted to get white bait before I ruined it.
Yeah.
So we didn't. But,
How big was he?
He would have been pretty close to being legal. I mean, he was between 30 and 38 inches.
So
he was
3-foot fish.
Yeah, he was right on that line.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could see the bite marks right on him, and it looked. If I had to guess, it looked like dolphin.
Narrow as dolphin, in a row as dolphin,
and that's
circular
what it was.
As shark.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's what it was. It was narrow in a line, and
well, they could have been playing catch with him.
Yeah, Definitely.
At that size, they pick them up, they throw them back and forth like they're footballs.
Yeah. And he had better things to do than eat. You know, he wanted to just swim around that marker, rest up, and heal up. And as soon as I saw him come by the second time and saw the bite marks, I knew the chances of getting him were slim.
Yeah. Well, if somebody just tried to eat me, I think I'd want to take and kick back for a little while and relax, you know.
Yeah.
I've been kind of doing that. I've not been in the store. I'm down by, to, you know, 4 or 5 days a week right now.
Went by Marker 4 out there below Burnt Store. Small school or a big school of small bait fish swimming around it in a ball. That'd be a good place to start looking for those triple tail. People usually want to throw shrimp at them. They will eat small white bait.
Oh, they like, but
they'll eat a small jig.
Yep. But it's got to be small. The key is most people throw too big a stuff at them.
Pinky size
stuff. I mean, choice shrimp, maybe a select tail
crab.
Them, so they'll fly. Fiddler crabs, little blue crabs like you'd use for smaller. Yeah, permit-sized blue crabs, small shrimp, small bait fish of any kind. And they'll eat almost anything if you can get in front of them and it's small enough. But you remember, they got a big mouth for their size, but most of them are only in that 14, 16-inch range now.
Yeah.
We've been catching some 28s, almost 30-inch triple tail. You get a little bit bigger bait on them, but they still seem to like the smaller stuff better.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and those bigger 20, you know, upper 20 fish are far and few between. You're more accurate with that 14 to 16 inch range.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a basic standard.
I forget what legal is. 14?
I think 14, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be 14
inches
legal. It could be 11, but I'm pretty sure I'm safe with saying 14. God, I'm getting old. Okay. And anyway, here comes the call to do our radio show. So I guess we're going to. Kale, you want to wrap this up? I got to take this.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Don't forget, this is our last tournament, and that is this Saturday. We also have our monthly show starting tomorrow and Wednesday, talking about shark, and we're also going to go over catfish and stingray. You're going to find that your tactics within the three are very, very similar.
Back in 5 minutes, we're wrapping up the radio show right now.
If Frank will hit the music, we will exit our way out.
Thank you for everything, and we'll be back with another fishing report later this week and get you updated with a trip around the harbor and everything else.
Well, remember those people who want us to do that national show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, you actually can be able to hear us on the radio. That was them. I'm going to call back and connect with them. So, anyway, because we have to do that, we're going to cut us off here. A little boom-ba-dee-dee music, but we'll see you tonight at Luigi's or tomorrow night. Tonight is reserve seating Tuesday, and it is the 10th of June. And so tonight's reserve seating, call 625-941-625-3888 and reserve your seats for tonight. Or tomorrow night, you can just show up. We've had a few extra seats each night for the last 2 months, so I think you're pretty safe with getting a seat. And we will see you on the next one. Captain Kale in the chair across from me, and the one and only Robert. See you guys. Thanks for listening.